bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, with all the stuff that's going on, you know Manny Machado with that bullseye on the back of his uniform? You know that. Well, last night, we almost forgot that Alec Asher gave the Orioles last night a pretty good chance to beat Chris Sale. In a moment, Buck and Rock on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, Alec Asher, a second quality start and two outings with the club. Two-part question. Is he positioning himself for a longer look in the rotation, and is that possible to do?
Well, it's always the case. You're always, you know, you've got to seize the opportunities you get and make people think good things about you, and that's how it works up here for all of us. So he certainly presented himself well in two starts, two tough venues to pitch in on the road, and I was really proud of him last night. He was solid, so we'll see where it takes us, but he's done his part.
You talk about taking in moments, especially as you get older. Adam Jones getting the ovation in the first inning. What's going through your mind as you're watching that?
Oh, yeah. It was, I'm biased. I'm the type of guy that would applaud him home or away, but no, that was a nice moment. I know Adam appreciated it.
Of course, the warm and fuzzy moment went away. Next batter, next pitch after Adam struck out, Chris Sale, a pitch behind Manny's knees. You were part of a conference call today with the commissioner, with Joe Torre. What was the message that was sent, and are you confident that this is done now?
Well, I'm not going to get into what we privately talked about on the phone, but, I don't know. Am I confident from their standpoint or from our standpoint? I don't have a whole lot of confidence in what they may or may not do, but I do have a whole lot of confidence in what we may or may not do because, we take into consideration a lot of things.
You concerned for the safety of your players?
Of course. You always are. I was very close to taking Manny out of the game in the first inning. I had a talk with him down the runway that didn't like the look on his face, and I didn't trust the people that are supposed to be protecting him. The umpires obviously didn't do it, so I was going to take matters in my own hand, but we had a long talk, and I felt better about the chance that it's not that I didn't trust him as much as I didn't trust the other team, and the umpires had showed they couldn't handle it.
And is there also the concern that it affects how you want to pitch to hitters? I know talking like Zach Britton, he said you worry about trying to go inside to somebody after benches have been worn in case one gets away, especially when you're just coming off the DL.
But we're not going to concern ourselves with that. We're going to pitch, and we talk about it. You're going to pitch. If you're going to sit there and stay on the outer half and out over the plate where they can extend their arms here, you might as well get on the bus and go back to the hotel. So trust me, that's not how we're going to pitch.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's manager's report. Buck, Wellington Castillo went on the DL before the game last night. Is this something with his shoulder that's been kind of lingering since spring training, and do you think that these 10 days off will fix the problem?
Well, first, I do think the 10 days will fix it. It's probably going to be – I think he's going to be a player the last two or three, but because of the position, you just can't go with one catcher. And, he can hit and he can catch, but he can't throw. Yet, we wouldn't do it. He's taken a medicine dose pack that has to run its course. It's about a 6 or 7 day course. And I think he'll be throwing at the end of that, and I think he'll be ready to go. If I was a betting man, I think it's a little byproduct of the WBC starting so early. Wellington wanted to catch the first inter-squad game. He wanted to really push the envelope. And when you speed up a player's clock like that, sometimes there's some sidebars to it, especially a catcher who throws a lot. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. But we think this time here we'll clear it up.
Chris Tillman pitched last night in Charlotte. The line doesn't look real good, 4 home runs in 5 innings. But how do you feel afterward, and are you confident that he could be ready on Sunday?
Well, first of all, Charlotte's the most probably home run hitter friendly ballpark in AAA, and other than the Albuquerque going to the West Coast. I talked to RJ today. He said only one of them probably would have been a home run. Threw the ball well, much improved. Really threw all 4 of his pitches a lot, and he's ready to go. He's ready to pitch for us, and he's going to meet us in Baltimore for his work day on Friday, and goes well, we'll decide where we plug him in.
And Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight, 1 quality start in 6 outings. Did you see signs of improvement in the last start?
Yeah, he was very close to having a good 7-inning start there, but the Yankees obviously had some things to say about that, but Kevin will have his tough task ahead. We got a 6-man bullpen right now, and so we need him to get some length. But Red Sox have something to say about that. But Kevin's always a start or two away from getting it going, and I hope tonight's the night.
Thank you, Buck. Let's go back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. Wellington Castillo is on the disabled list, so, hey, guess who's catching again tonight? Huh? Caleb Joseph, two balls and two strikes. Scope off the bank at first. Here it comes. Caleb, line drive, left center. That's a gapper. That may drive in a run. That ball on the warning track. It's up against a monster. Scope, the third, being waved in. He'll score standing. Throw back in much too late, and it's a 1-0 Baltimore lead. Caleb Joseph with a double to the gap in left center, and the Orioles have drawn first blood. There you go, Caleb. He and Jim Hunter, they got together on the warm-up show. Next on the Orioles Radio Network.
It is another cool night at Boston's Fenway Park as the Orioles and Red Sox get together. It's game three in this four-game series, and Caleb Joseph up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Orioles and Red Sox tonight, game three of the four-game series at Fenway Park, and visiting with Caleb Joseph. And the question everybody's wondering all over the place is it ever going to stop? Can the Orioles and Red Sox just play baseball?
Well, we sure hope so. Hopefully tonight is the first of the rest of the season, just playing ball. We're not going to change our game plans. We have to do certain things on the pitching mound. We got to protect certain parts of the plate. The fact is, guys get hit in this game. They're not all intentional. I think one thing with generation that's playing now is if it's anywhere close to you, everybody thinks it's personal. It's not the case. We've got to pitch inside. We've got to protect that part of the plate, or else we're going to be in bad shape.
And along those lines, you have Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight. His last three starts, he's had trouble with his consistent command. Now, does that affect his game at all? Because we don't know if there will be warnings before the game, but if there are, that takes away the inside of the plate from him.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to continue to pitch to Kevin's strengths, and Kevin pitches inside. He's got a big fastball. He's got to protect the outside part of the plate. I don't think warnings will be issued. It's not going to change. We're not going to just continue to pitch outside. We can't. And no matter if there's warnings or not, we have to establish certain parts of the plate. So hopefully we can do that and establish those without hitting somebody. It's not going to be the intent. Never will be. And hopefully we can secure a W tonight.
Is there ever any banter? I mean, you're the catcher, so you see all of their hitters coming up. Is there ever anything said when things like this go on between the catcher and the opposing players?
Not since I've been catching. I wish I could give you something, but no, it's guys are in there playing the game. I think guys go in there and they're anticipating hitting the ball versus is it going to hit me? At least that's how I feel. I mean, I've been thrown out twice at the head, and I wasn't thinking, is this pitch going to hit me? I was ready to hit, and I think that's what major league hitters have to do because guys on the mound, they're so good, and they bring big fastballs, so you got to be ready to hit. You can't be tentative. When you're tentative, you get caught behind, and bad things tend to happen. So nobody's really said anything to me, and hopefully they don't have to.
Well, it seems like for whatever reason, the Red Sox don't want this to end. No one thinks Manny tried to hurt Dustin Pedroia. He was a baseball player. He was sliding in the second base. And then last night after Sale left the field, he screamed at your bench, this is war. I mean, that doesn't tell me that this is something going on. I mean, for me, it's all on their side.
Yeah, that's how we feel. Their media has done a really nice job of continuing to kindle the fire. We see it more as hot coals burning. They're continuing to put logs on the fire. Hopefully that ends tonight. You know, sometimes you just gotta let the players on the field deal with it, let everybody else just get out of the way. Seems like there's agendas over here that want to continue to make this a big deal. We've been past it since day one. I think Pedroia was past it, but there's other people involved that want to see this continue, and that's too bad because it's a dangerous thing. I think anytime you get in the box and you got to dodge 100 mile an hour pitches, it's no fun, and it's really easy to sit behind a booth or behind a microphone and talk about it, but when you get in that box and you get 100 at your head, it ain't no fun. Hopefully it ends tonight because we're trying to go out there and play and hopefully secure a win.
All right, you begin the night tied for first with the Yankees. A tough loss last night. It was a 3-2 game late. They got a couple of insurance runs. One thing about this Orioles team, really the last five or so years, it's been a very resilient group. You seem to have the ability to bounce back from tough losses. Why is that?
Well, it's the makeup of the team, in my opinion. We have a never quit, never die, every day is a new day approach. And I think that goes along for a lot of teams, but really just the makeup of this team, you can't really quantify. We have players in here that are real good team players. They know what they need to do. They know what they need to bring each and every day. And it all starts, you know, for us with the starting pitching. And for the most part, they've done a tremendous job this year. Even Alec last night did a great job, quality start for us. And we just couldn't put anything together against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Tonight we're going to face another tough lefty. We've got one of our big boys on the mound, and we hope it's going to be a nice game for us.
And what will Kevin need to do to have a real good chance to have a nice, clean, deep game?
Well, I think you mentioned earlier he's kind of been struggling a little bit with his fastball command. I was in his bullpen session a couple of days ago in New York. I think cleaned up a few mechanical issues that will allow him to really command that fastball, because when he can command it, everything works off of it. And that's pretty much standard for all starting pitchers, but especially for Kevin, because he's got a big fastball and he really relies on it. Good slider off of it, but when his release point is out in front and he's getting full extension with the heater, the slider is really good. The split has a lot of action, so we're going to try and establish that tonight.
Well, Kevin Gausman is due for a bounce-back game. If you look at his last three starts, he is 0-2 with a no decision, and he has pitched collectively in those three starts to an ERA of 11.57. In 14 innings combined in those three starts, he's allowed 18 runs on 24 hits, and he's coming off a no decision Friday in New York, in which he had a 9-1 lead and the Yankees chipped back in the game. And from Boston, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Fenway Park, and a tough one tonight. As they say, as Buck says, a challenging night, but for the Orioles here, it was not to be. Jim, the Orioles are in a ball game here where they lose their starting pitcher in the second inning because the home plate umpire just didn't utilize common sense and somewhat lost control. And then they lose Adam Jones in the middle of the game because the home plate umpire couldn't ignore him as Adam was walking away. He must have said something to cause the ejection, but the umpire could have ignored him. Adam had his back to him, walking back toward the dugout, and that's when he got tossed on his way back to the dugout. And so with that happening, they also lose the game, but they do have a chance to salvage the finale tomorrow night. The bullpen looked pretty good tonight, mm-hmm. as we look for positives here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Joe. It's very disappointing when an umpire alters the outcome of a game, as Sam Holbrook did here tonight. I mean, I understand everything that's gone on, which, by the way, has been all the Red Sox fault. The Orioles really hadn't done anything to Boston. And Chris Sale last night throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball behind Machado, yet he's not ejected. And because of that conference call today, the umpire, he overreacts and ejects Kevin Gausman, who threw a breaking ball that happened to slip out of his hand and hit the batter. But you just hate to see that. Not only did it affect this game tonight, it could have a big effect on the game tomorrow, because the Orioles had to use tomorrow's starter, Ubaldo Jimenez, in the game tonight to eat up the innings, the last three, and he pitched really well. You're right. I mean, he pitched great. But now Blyer, who went four innings, the longest outing of the season in the minors or majors, he's unavailable now for a couple of days. It was only a six-man bullpen to begin with, so there's a lot of ramifications. But the bullpen was outstanding. You're right. They kept them in the game, and the Orioles did have a chance to win the game. They just couldn't get that big hit.
That's the question tonight. Did Ubaldo Jimenez here tonight become the Oriole long man out of the bullpen?
Well, he sure did look good. I mean, I know he'd rather be a starter, but with his inconsistencies in the rotation, he's a pretty valuable weapon out there, because he throws hard. He's got a variety of pitches. And who knows, maybe he is better first time through the lineup. You know, maybe just facing three innings here or there and facing each batter just once, that might be a good spot for him.
Well, if Ubaldo throws strikes, he can get anybody out.
Yes.
At any time in the ballgame.
Yes, he can.
If he throws strikes. And tonight he did. Now, he did walk three.
Mm-hmm.
But he picked one off. And, I mean, he wasn't all over the place like he normally might be.
No, he really pitched very, very well, as my wet scorecard. Let me flip it over here. He did strike out two. He walked three. But he did what Buck Showalter asked him to do and needed him to do. After Blyer pitched four innings and got the Orioles through the fifth inning, he needed somebody to pitch those other three innings. And, you know, keep in mind, if the Orioles had somehow come back and gotten the lead, I'm sure Buck would have used the bullpen differently, because he had Brock out there, he had O'Day out there, he had Givens, Donnie Hart, and Zach Butt. With the Orioles trailing, And you know, even though Buck always says, and I agree with his approach, just worry about today. Try to win today, and you'll worry about tomorrow. But he had to have an eye on tomorrow because he was once Gausman was ejected, he was already short.
You know, I know Buck says that, but nobody worries about tomorrow more than Buck Showalter.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of the wheels have been turning as we've been sitting here watching this game.
How about Bleier? The longest outing of his career.
Yeah, that was outstanding, and the Orioles really needed it. And if not for that J.J. Hardy error, this game would have been a lot different. I mean, the ball that went through the legs of Hardy, it was a bad hop, I understand. And then the throw to the plate where he would have had Moreland, but he airmailed it and overthrew Caleb Joseph. But Bleier, three runs, just one earned. And if not for that error, it might have been a much different game.
Really amazing. The Orioles always one of the better defensive teams in the game, and yet tonight a couple of unearned runs were the difference in this game. The Orioles had a chance against Pomerantz in the first inning. He had to throw 34 pitches to get three outs. Orioles had two runners aboard, nobody out. But then Machado struck out, Trumbo flied out, Davis walked to load the bases, and Scope in that first inning had an opportunity. Pomerantz still got him one ball, two strikes. Red Sox infield backed up all the way. Nothing in the first. And the 1-2 pitch. Scope swings and misses. And he goes down on strikes. The ball that was in the dirt. Vasquez will dig it out and then step on the plate to get that third out. So the Orioles had a wonderful opportunity, but they cannot cash in. They had first and second, nobody out. They do not score. Yep, they went 0-for-4 in that inning with runners in scoring position and unable to capitalize early in the game. Now, Kevin Gausman faced four batters through 19 pitches in the first inning, and he got three outs. But then came the bottom of the second inning. Xander Bogaerts was the leadoff hitter, and that's when suddenly Kevin Gausman was no longer in the game. Kevin Gausman tonight looking for his second victory of this young season. He delivers. Bogaerts, oh, look out, he got drilled. And now Kevin Gausman has been tossed out. That is maybe the most ridiculous call I've ever seen. Now, we told you the umpires did not issue a pregame warning. But the warning came from the baseball offices. Buck Showalter is out there, and on a ball that, to me, clearly got away from Kevin Gausman. And Gausman is livid, and so was Caleb Joseph. He jumped all over the umpire as soon as he realized that Kevin Gausman had been ejected from this game. You got to be kidding me. No, not kidding. And it was on a breaking ball that he hit that batter, and still Kevin Gausman got tossed. That's when Richard Bleier, the left-hander, came out of the bullpen. He walked Moreland, and eventually after Young forced a man, it was, that's when the Red Sox took the lead. And the 1-1 pitch. There goes the runner at first. Line drive, Hardy jumps up. He cannot make the catch. That's a base hit. So the run scores. Young is going to go to third base. He's in there standing. The ball back to the middle of the infield, and it's a 1-0 Boston lead. Rutledge, a single to pick up the RBI. Red Sox had the 1-0 lead. Then in the bottom of the fourth inning, Xander Bogaerts came up as the leadoff hitter against Bleier, and the ball hit to J.J. Hardy. I mean, normally, it's a done deal. Tonight, it wasn't.
And the pitch bounced toward short. J.J. boots it. It goes right through his legs. It must have taken a bad bounce and skipped right through his legs. Well, you usually don't see that from the sure hands of J.J. Hardy. And the leadoff man is on here in the fourth inning.
Yep, and that led to a three-run inning. Later, it was Chris Young. He got a big hit.
So here is Chris Young, first and third, and nobody down. Bleier's got to go into minimizing the damage here. Swinging a line drive. That's a base hit to left center field, and that's going to get down and go all the way to the wall. Adam Jones cuts it off. Here's Bogaerts to score. Moreland will be held at third, and it's an RBI double for Chris Young. So the Red Sox getting the Bleier here in his third inning of work, although the run that just scored should have been out. Bogaerts reaching on the error by J.J. Hardy.
Yeah, and then Rutledge came out. Remember, now Rutledge was only playing because Marco Hernandez suffered a shoulder injury early and had to leave the game. Rutledge, who picked up the RBI in the second, well, he got one more in the fourth.
And the 1-1 swinging the ground ball to short. Hardy has it. He's coming to the plate. The throw is high and over the head of Caleb Joseph, and Young is going to advance to third. J.J. had a play, and he airmailed it over the head of Caleb Joseph. And it's 3-0 Boston as Moreland scores.
Yeah, but there was no error charged on that play, but the run did score. They all count. And then we went to the fifth inning. One out, bases empty. Rickard got a base hit. Adam Jones came up to hit, and eventually he struck out, and he found out that suddenly he was no longer in the game. Fast ball, a swing and a miss. Snuck it right past him after that big yakker. And now Jones going to get tossed. Adam Jones on his way back to the Oriole dugout with his back to the umpire, and you could see him jawing away. He was saying something. There's no doubt about that, but he was walking away from Sam Holbrook with his back to him as he headed back to the Oriole dugout, and Holbrook tossed him out. Indeed, that's how it happened. So Jones had to leave the game. Gentry came in, took over in center field. In the sixth inning, Orioles trying to get back in the game. Trumbo, a leadoff walk. And with one out, Scope got the Orioles on the board.
Trumbo on at first with one down. Pomerantz deals, swinging a high fly ball right center field. That ball is crushed. Benintendi back out there near the triangle. It bounces, and it's into the bullpen for a ground rule double. So Trumbo will go to third, and Jonathan Scope at second base with a ground rule double. So the Orioles trying to get something going here in the sixth inning.
Yep, put the Orioles in a position where a fly ball hit by Trey Mancini picked up an RBI. And then J.J. came up with two outs and delivered a big hit.
And the 3-2 pitch swung on, and a base hit to left field. There's a big two-out hit for Hardy. Scope will score, and it's a 4-2 game. How about that at-bat for J.J. Hardy?
Well, the Boston bullpen took care of the rest. We saw Embry get two outs. We saw Barnes go 1 2/3 scoreless. We saw Robbie Scott, I mean, got one big out. And then Kimbrell came in and dominated when he struck out the side in the ninth. 0-2. And here it comes. Fastball, swing and a miss. Struck him out. Fastball at 99 ends the game. Machado goes right through it. And on a night when the Orioles lost Kevin Gausman in the second inning and they lost Adam Jones in the fifth inning, they both got tossed. They lose the game as well. Boston wins it 4-2. Yep, same two teams again tomorrow night. I wonder what's going to happen. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
So the Orioles in this game saw Kevin Gausman ejected in the second inning when he hit Xander Bogaerts with a 77-mile-an-hour curveball. And then Adam Jones was ejected in the fifth inning after a swinging strike three. He did not like the call of strike two. He said something to Sam Holbrook, who ejected Adam for arguing balls and strikes. Let's hear from the skipper now. We'll head downstairs. Post-game comments, Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Shouldn't have happened, obviously. Everybody knows the people that matter. You know, Sam's a good umpire. He's trying to do the right thing, and I'm sure in his mind, but it was a mistake. Just like not throwing Sale out last night was a mistake. It's kind of like we keep trying to do the right thing, keep getting screwed.
And Adam, I thought, I mean, he was walking away. I know he was talking, but...
Yeah, it's frustrating, Gary. You know, you keep trying to take the high ground, do the right things, and it's just not fair sometimes. Tonight was another example of that.
So you had your starter scheduled for tomorrow and tonight. Does that mean we're going to see Kevin back again tomorrow?
No.
Kevin Gausman?
I doubt it, you know. We made plans for the game. We knew we might need a long reliever tomorrow. And we have plans to cover tomorrow. It's not like we wait till the last second. So, and the problem with decisions like the one that was made tonight on the field, it affects a lot of people and a lot of moving parts and people and their families and a lot of things that shouldn't happen. But what are you going to do? Quit or deal with it? So we're going to not sit there and bleed. We're going to try to right the ship and split the series tomorrow.
I'm assuming that means that you're going to have to do something with the roster again for tomorrow's game, too?
Yeah, I would expect so. It's another derivative of a poor decision tonight by them.
Buck, thanks.
Okay.
All right, so you could hear the frustration in the voice of Buck Showalter as they'll have to make one move and possibly two moves to be at full strength for tomorrow night's finale, all because of the decision by Sam Holbrook, who overreacted and ejected Kevin Gausman in that second inning.